Welcome to On the Verge with Kara Bradley. Weekly blasts of no hype advice and essential practices to settle down, show up, and shift from crazy busy to high definition, high voltage living. Hey everyone, thanks for listening. In this episode, I'm breaking form from my regular solo performance to interview. This is an interview style podcast where I'm interviewing a great friend of mine and brilliant businesswoman and now author, Kelly McNillis. Kelly is the founder of Women for One. It's an online community of women that come together to share stories and share topics and support one another. And I have to tell you that Kelly and Women for One was the first site that published one of my blog posts besides my own website. And so I owe a great deal of gratitude to Kelly and her confidence in me. And just having that first blog post published was an incredibly transformative moment. It built a lot of my confidence in myself as a writer, and it encouraged me to continue on. And this was years and years ago. And since then, Kelly and I have talked many times, but the first time we spoke was like an instant connection, you know, when that happens. And we came up with, we kind of co-created our first podcast, the Women for One podcast. And I hosted that for about a year, where I was interviewing some of the truth tellers, the people, the women that contributed to Women for One. So Kelly McNillis and Women for One really have played a very, very important role in my progression here as writer, speaker, teacher, author. And I'm so excited to speak with her today and to have her share with us her first book. Her first book is called Your Messy Brilliance, and it's a great topic, something that we all need to carry around with us, is how to accept our own imperfections and not try to hide them away, but actually use them to support others and to rock our lives. So here's our interview together. It's, a bunch of girlfriends chatting away. I hope you enjoy it. And let me know if you like the interview style. If you do, I'll find some more people that want to chat with me. And here we go. Hey, everyone. I'm so excited to be with you today because I have my friend Kelly McNillis with us. She is, as I told you in the intro, just a fabulous woman with a fabulous mission and so much to say. And this time I get to be the interviewer, which is so much fun for me. We're going to be talking about her brand new book, Your Messy Brilliance, which is really apropos because I've tried the beginning of this interview 4 times now and have screwed up every time. So life is messy, isn't it, Kel?
It's totally messy. I had my microphone muted. See what I mean? Like, it's just the way it is.
Oh, it's so great to have you. I'm so excited for you. I'm so proud of you and all that you've done. And I'm really excited to share your book with my community because they know I'm a big reader. And I'm also super, super big on just keeping things very real. So
I appreciate it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. You know how much I adore you. And it's just so wonderful to talk to a friend and a supporter about this book.
Awesome. Well, I think before we get into your messy brilliance and my messy brilliance, I think it'd be helpful for our audience just to hear a little bit about you and really how you came to this day where you are now promoting a book about us all just accepting our imperfections and kind of moving forward from there.
You know, Kara, it's an incredible story, as all of our lives are and all of our stories and experiences are, as women especially. And for me, it's almost 7 years ago that I started Women for One, which is an online community, as some of you know, for women to share their stories and make their lives happen on their own terms and really to discover their own voices. So why I started Women for One is because I really wanted to discover my voice and to create a tribe of women that wanted the same things in life, wanted to keep it real, like you talk about, Kara, wanted to really move into their own passion and power and decide on their own terms how they wanted to live their lives and not let their experiences and their stories hold them back. So as I evolved and interviewed people and created courses and wrote myself with Women for One, I really felt like this book was calling for me. And I don't know if you felt that way about your book, but it feels like, you know, I'm more of the messenger. The book has taken on its own life in some ways and has taught me so much about diving into my own messiness, you know, not trying to get it right, and really discovering my genius and my power and my voice inside of the mess. And that's really what the book is about.
Yeah. So life is messy. I mean, you've got, you have six kids or five kids?
Six children, three of my own, three stepchildren. We have a blended family, ages 17 to 23. And it's incredible. It's fun. It's messy. It's powerful. We're family. We've been together for over 10 years now. And growing up as an only child, I could have never imagined that.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, you talk about messy, boy. I hope that your house is kind of messy, Kelly.
It's not that messy, actually. I'm pretty lucky, but my mind is messy. My brain is. My purse is definitely messy. My hair is a lot of times messy as well.
Awesome. Well, you know, so what brought you to start Women for One? I spoke a little bit about it in the intro, but I'd love to hear from you. Like, what really inspired you to start this community?
Well, I would say it's been about 12, 13 years ago. No, it's been 15 years since my first marriage dissolved and I had three little children and I was a single mom for 5 years. And as many of you know, many women know in this world, we all go through trials and tribulations. We go through divorce, betrayal, death. I mean, it's just part of life. And then I lost a very, very dear friend to cancer, and I was with her when she passed. And so it really helped me to start questioning what I was going to do with my life and realizing that life is precious and to dive in and discover my passion. And because I had worked in nonprofit care, I just felt like the natural next step, because I loved women and I had so many friends and sisters and I wanted to write, was to just create a little blog highlighting great things women were doing. And that's what I started doing at first. And then I would say about 6 months in, I checked in with my intuition and my gut, and I heard this small voice saying, you should allow women to share their stories and experiences. And within 6 months of that, I had women from over 30 countries, which is now over 50 countries, sharing their stories and experiences. And we call them truth tellers on our site. So I had to create a container for this community that kind of came to me after I put that intention out into the world.
Wow. That's so great. And you talk about it in your book. One of the first things you talk about is really owning your story. And I know for me, as a truth teller, putting my story into really to see it on the screen on Women for One is really empowering. And so how do you feel? Like, you know, I just know that personally, but you know it from thousands and thousands of women. How do you feel that owning your story is part healing and empowering for people, especially women?
Yes. Well, I think first, of course, looking at your experiences and your stories in life gives you a different perspective when you write it down or you speak it and you speak that truth out loud to someone else and have the courage to do that. And on our site, you can also write anonymously, which I think is still a powerful action to do because you're writing it down and putting it out to the world. And what that does is it gives you that perspective to be able to release that story and not let it define you, but also to learn from those experiences and gain wisdom to not be a victim to your circumstances. And sometimes stories aren't always bad, Kara. I would say some of them are incredibly inspiring. And, you know, you were a podcast host for me on my site, and you saw that. Some of the women that share their experiences, it's about success. And I think sometimes we forget that, that we need to be inspired by others. And so the last way that I feel like women, one of the main ways that women can learn from sharing their story is to feel less alone and more connected and inspired by others so that they can take action in their own lives.
Mm, that's so great. Yeah. So in the book then, so say somebody who's reading your book doesn't feel comfortable yet writing their story and posting it on Women for One, what are some of the ways that you would encourage women to and men to own their story? How would they do that? And what will they read about in your book?
Well, we have exercises in the book. Well, I have exercises. I feel like it's a we, because I feel like it's been such a collaborative project with all the people that have helped me put it together. But I have exercises in the book. One is called A Simple Fix, and then one is Digging Deeper, and then one is Diving In, because I know how busy women are. And if they're really resonating with an idea in my book, I wanted them to have an area where they can really dive in. But then there are others where it's like, okay, I have 10 minutes. Let me just apply this really quickly. And so that's that simple fix in the exercises in the back of each chapter to apply the tools that I'm offering for them. Now, with regards to the story, I feel like just writing a story down, like reflecting on it and just free writing without judgment or shame, is a huge way to at least just get it down, look at it, right? Leave it alone for a while, walk away from it, and then come back and then start getting curious about asking yourself questions about how that defined you, in what way in your life, what subconscious actions have you taken or values or belief systems have you created about yourself around that story and experience. So it's just never ending, Kara, as you know. It's just the journey of life. We could do that with every single experience in our life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that. And, you know, we do this process in our yoga teacher training called Hometown, which is a 10-minute, everybody gets the floor for 10 minutes just to tell everybody else about your story. You just share your story. And I'll tell you what, it breaks down boundaries. It breaks down all of that little competitiveness or judgments or comparisons that come up in any kind of group dynamic. So sharing, I love it. I mean, I just love this whole idea of just allowing it out, allowing that messy brilliance to shine through us all, right?
Definitely. That's great that you do that. That's awesome that women can just share who they are. I do that in the workshops I've been doing. I have women go up and just simply connect with one another while they're dancing and getting messy, taking their bras off, doing whatever they want to do. But I think it's really important that they share something about themselves that's not a label of who they are, but just an experience or a story that they believe, you know, that just comes up for them, because it kind of shows their personality and also allows other women to open their hearts to them or people in general.
Yeah, exactly. And when we do that, boy, we connect so much more quickly. You know, I often say we're like dogs, you know, we're just sniffing each other out. And so when we take down the boundaries, we allow ourselves to just be who we are, we actually connect with others much more quickly and more deeply, you know?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So I just want to let everybody know. So this is just one aspect of Kelly's book. There are 7 tools. And what I really love about the book is, like Kelly said, at the back of each chapter are these exercises. And I have to tell you, Kelly, I love the quick fixes. You know, I'm really busy, as you know, as we all are. But the quick fixes, I feel like I can just take with me, put them in my pocket, and, you know, play with throughout the day. And I use that word play because I try not to, you know, overwhelm myself with more to-dos than I already have. But those quick fixes are really fantastic.
Thank you. And it was really important to me as a mother of 6, a business owner, a friend, a wife, you know, a daughter, like everything, that we had simple tools that help women. Because I think it really is in the baby steps, Kara, of our lives that we learn in this journey.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So I have a question for you you know, when I read the book, I'd love to hear you explain it. And that is, Kelly, you encourage us to cultivate imperfection. And I'm like, huh, wow, that kind of goes against everything my type A personality wants to do.
Yes.
Kelly, so you're like, how do I do that?
How do we do that? How do we cultivate imperfection? Well, Kara, we really first have to consciously move past our shame and self-judgment. And the first thing we have to do is to get aware of the shame and self-judgment we have, or listen to our self-talk, right? And develop a stronger relationship to our mind and our body and our spirit. I think that really helps to be able to cultivate that imperfection, because I think we've all been taught in the society to fit into a nice, neat little box of an idealized image of what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. And it's just not realistic. I don't believe that perfection exists at all. I think it's a word that we should do away with. And cultivating imperfection is really about, you know, the antidote to this kind of plague of perfectionism that's happening in our society right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I call it like the Pottery Barn syndrome or like the Martha Stewart syndrome. All of a sudden, like in our lifetimes, women are afraid to entertain because it's not going to look like Martha Stewart did it. And I mean, coming from an Italian household in Brooklyn where people were literally in and out of your house all day long, it's very strange to me that we don't do that anymore. You know, as a culture, we don't have that kind of informal community. It's got to be this, you know, this dinner party with like the napkin rings and the place cards.
I don't relate to that so much, but I related to that when I was in my late 20s, when I had my house for the first time and I wanted it to be perfect when everybody came over. And I'm just so over that in so many ways. It's a good representation of it. It's like my house is one of those houses, Kara. And my dear friend that passed, you know, she reminds me a lot of you because she was like that too. You could always, you never knocked, you just walked in her door. And I think we need more of that in a society. We need to just we don't have to air all of our dirty laundry out and recycle in our story as victims, but we can definitely just allow ourselves to take our bras off and put our hair up on top of our heads with no makeup and hang out and really get real with people.
Oh, that sounds so awesome. I love it. I love it. So I have another one of my favorite quotes in the entire book, and I've got, just so you all know, like all these little tabbies hanging out of this book, is the following. It's on page 160. You don't need to aspire to greatness. You are greatness. Now, I read that and the hair on my arms stand up because I love that. I love, you know, I believe that too, Kelly, as a teacher. You know, we already are brilliant. Now, the big question, though, is how do we start to trust that brilliance? Because that's a biggie. To, you know, I'm great. What do you mean I'm great already? I have all this work to do on myself. So, you know, how do you inspire women to trust their brilliance already?
Well, you know, it's great you ask that because there's so many things that came in my head with my ADD messy brain. But the first image that came in my head was I show this picture when I do workshops for women. One of the first pictures I show is of kind of like a mess, right? Like what, ask women what they, how they define the word mess. And the next picture I show is of this little girl looking up in the sky with this brilliant, brilliant, joyous smile with her hair all messed up. She's probably like 3 years old, brown hair, and she has paint all over her face and her fingers, right? She's a mess. But you see that brilliance through her. You see it through her eyes. You see it through the joy in her being. And I ask the women to dive into a space where they remember that space inside themselves, that greatness, that limitless possibility that they've embodied, that the world was their oyster, because that is what I'm talking about with greatness. I'm talking about that we all have it. We all have that. We just covered it up with so much shit. And it doesn't need to be there. We just have to peel back the layers and there we are. So that's kind of what I mean when I talk about the messy brilliance, diving into our mess to wade through to that beautiful, joyous little girl or boy that is sitting there waiting, you know, and unfettered. And ready for anything in their lives.
Yes, that's it. You know, and in many ways, that's, you know, this sense of being awake and fully alive that I love to talk about. You know, it's underneath there. Yeah, I'm with you. So, you know, we haven't had a conversation like this in a while. I mean, we talk every week, but I was recalling back when we did our webinar on building your tribe. So all yes. listening, we did this fabulous webinar about how to find your tribe, how to recognize your tribe. But you also talk about it in your book. So you probably have some new insights about building your tribe. Can you tell us about the whole sisterhood?
You know, it was funny. I did a webinar last night and I thought, oh, I miss Kara. And that was such, it was one of my favorite webinars I've ever done because so many women resonated with that. And it was actually, to be honest, surprising to me because I've had this real knack at being able to collect an incredibly supportive group of community and dear friends and supportive women and men in my life. And I don't know about you, but I remember when we did that webinar, there were many, many women that were saying, I don't trust women and I can't find my tribe. Do you remember that, Kara?
Yeah,
it was
totally.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, it opened my eyes to, you know, that I'm, first of all, I'm very grateful that I have this knack to be able to discern, but I was like, well, what is it that I've found in my women? You know, what are the qualities and values of my women and men that I go to, you know, my go-to people? And really it's about getting clear about my values and belief systems so I know who I want to attract and who I am, like, solidly. And once I got really clear, you know, and I'm still working it, as we all are, right, Kara, every day, like, who I am solidly, and then really defining clearly an intention of who I want to surround myself with in my professional life, in my personal life. And then there are tribe members that we kind of have to deal with, as we've talked about before, that are in our tribe that we're not necessarily always excited to have. Yeah. Family members that, you know, we're going to learn a lot of lessons from, and then we have to create skill sets to deal with them and also to be able to learn from them so we can move forward in a peaceful manner. So I don't think anything has changed for me, Kara. I think I talked a lot about it in the book. I think it's really important to have discernment around who you surround yourself with and who you choose not to surround yourself with. I think it's an even bigger question and decision. And then also getting really clear on your values and belief systems about who you are and who you want to connect with.
That's great. Yeah. And just knowing every time, you know, when you put your head on the pillow at night, knowing you've got those 5, 6, like, you know, women for me in my inner circle, and I know they've got my back. It's really powerful. So we all have them. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, pausing to recognize, well, who really, I have it at the back of my journal, actually. I have my tribes at the back of my journal, just, and I love to look at them, at the different tribes that I have in my life. So that's been fun to do. Well, listen, everybody.
Well,
yeah,
absolutely.
we're gonna let I'm gonna let Kelly here just tell you one more time about her brilliant, messy, brilliant book. if you know, maybe Kel, if you could just give us kind of your little pitch on the book and where we can find it and where we can find you, that'd be great.
Well, you can find me at womenforoneallspelledout.com. It's our community, and we're on social media. We have a very large social media following on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. I have videos of people I've interviewed. And then inside womenforone.com, or you can go to yourmessybrilliance.com to find my book, or you can find my book on womenforone.com as well. And then we have just recently launched, so I'm very excited, and Kara has been a part of that, so I'm very grateful to you for being part of my launch at Barnes & Noble in New York. I am speaking in Boulder on November 16th and in Tempe on November 30th. If anybody is interested in attending those, they can reach out to me on my site to find out more information. And we also have a course, Embrace Your Messy Brilliance in 30 Days, that you can sign up for, that applies a lot of the principles and tools I talk about in the book. And it's all on our site, womenforone.com.
Awesome. You are brilliant, my friend. I'm so excited. I'm so happy that you are in my inner tribe. I feel so grateful to just be able to send a text and have a phone call with you when I need one. So thank you so much.
Same here, sister. You're always there for me. So thank you, Kara, for everything you're doing for women out there. I'm so honored to know you.
Well, likewise, my friend. And I wish you so much success with this book. I have no doubt it is going to hit the charts and you are going to be a rock star, more of a rock star than you already are. So, see, this is
Thank
see this everybody.
Much.
This is how tribe members kind of gush around each other. This is what we do.
Thank you, Kara.
All righty, everybody. Till next time. Thanks for joining us, and go out there and find your messy brilliance. But also, go get the book first. Take care.
If you're feeling fired up from this episode, please share it with a friend and review this podcast on iTunes and Google Play, and help me help more folks show up for their high definition, high voltage life.